Good morning, welcome to this PwC webinar. With our speakers today, our objective is to share with you some key insight about the 2021 SWIFT CSP attestation process and how to prepare and be ready for 2022. You are about 150 participants today from different industries and backgrounds. This is the third edition of this conference, which is organized this year across territories with PwC UK, Luxembourg, Belgium, Switzerland, and France. We have today a presentation of 45 minutes and a Q&A session of 15 minutes at the end. Before we start, a few rules to follow today, please. Of course, you can use the chat panel to ask your question, and keep in mind that we will save most of the question for the Q&A session at the end. And after the presentation, you will be receiving a satisfaction survey. Thank you in advance to take a few minutes. Your feedback is more than welcome, as you can imagine. Let's have a look at our speakers today. We have the chance today to welcome Laetitia Callier from Crédit Agricole Payment Services. Laetitia is the head of exchange operation and international payments. Good morning, Laetitia. Olivier Lazare from SWIFT, who is the lead customer engineer. Good morning, Olivier. And Jean-Bernard Rambaud, cybersecurity partner at PwC France, who co-leads our SWIFT CSP practice in France. And myself, Romain Camus, technology risk partner at PwC France. I co-lead our SWIFT CSP practice as well with Jean-Bernard Rambaud. Let's move to the next slide with an overview of our agenda for today. So we'll be starting in a minute with a PwC insight on the SWIFT CSP 2021 independent assessment with Jean-Bernard. And then we will listen to Olivier, who will shed light on the SWIFT security program and provide his retrospective on 2021. After that, we'll have Laetitia, will be sharing with us her recent experience with the CSP attestation at Crédit Agricole level. And then we will have the Q&A session. So we're gonna start with Jean-Bernard on the PwC insight on the SWIFT 2021 independent assessment. Jean-Bernard, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Thank you, Romain. So we wanted to give you a little bit of insight on SWIFT CSP, what we've seen last year, what changed, what were the lesson learned, right, from the work we've done with you over the year. And if you can go to the next slide, there's a couple of messages I wanted to relate to you is that stake not always understood, meaning that we still see a lot of contributors that have, you know, offloaded, let's say, to service provider this problem of SWIFT. They are still accountable for it. They may have different type of architecture, but they still don't own the subject very well. So I think you own SWIFT, even if you have a service bureau. And I think it's important to have accountable party that own the subject and can really credibly answer basically the self-attestation at the end of the year. So my message to you is that own the subject, you know, identify clear owner of the problems and make sure they have the skills and the knowledge to be able to secure the value chain of SWIFT, right? Because ultimately CSP is all about the security of the transactions, not just the checklist and not just the control. It's about the security of the transactions. So make sure you have individuals that can do that and protect your assets. The second point is the lack of CSP independent assessment preparation, meaning that, you know, last year there was a little bit of a rush at the end of Q4, and we have a huge amount of requests, and clients were running a little bit about, oh my God, I need to do this, and we have all those controls, I'm not sure where I stand. So there was a huge lack of preparation, and I think last year was the first year where it was mandatory to have an external assessment performed, and therefore, you know, they put a lot of pressure in the marketplace to get organized around this. So please prepare in advance, you know, be proactive about it. That will be my, that's why we've been trying to communicate to individuals. Don't wait for the last minute, please. The third point is CSP deals with technical subjects. So it is the how, not the what, that's important from a technology standpoint. So think about the hackers, right? That's going to try to steal a Swift, you know, intelligence from you. They're going to use the technical, you know, gaps, the indicator of compromise, the misconfigurations, the unpatched devices. They're going to use the access, you know, gaps. They're going to use those vectors to be able to get after you. So this is a technical issue. You need to have competent technical professional that can really look at your architecture, your design, the flow on the information, and even understand the behavior of your transaction so that you can monitor properly the velocity, the destinations, you know, and so forth. So it is a technical subject. Make sure you have that in your team when you do an assessment. The fourth point, lack of Swift specialized detection and response capabilities. The big subject this year, honestly, in terms of detection and response. I've done this for many, many years while I was in the US, you know, for 25 years. And over there, that was a big, big topic, meaning that how do I monitor Swift behavior, transactional behavior? Can I detect a velocity change in the amount, in the destination, in the frequency, in the time of the day? So if you think about somebody is going to steal from you, what are the, you know, the signals that I want to be made aware of so that I can stop it, I can detect? And honestly, the detection and response is not just detecting someone at the OS level, someone at the infra level, right? It is to be able to understand the behavior of those Swift tables and those transactions, basically from to and velocity and others. Those are basically treasury, you know, behavior that needs to be converted into a cybersecurity defense detection and response. So that needs to be orchestrated. And finally, and I think this is the very point of this year, is, you know, anticipate the assessment effort, be prepared. You know, and we're here to help, but it's great when we have, you know, a little bit of heads up. So how to better prepare for Swift CSP 2022 independent assessment. So we've done a lot of work this year as part of this webinar to inform individuals. Q2, you know, is a very important part of making the plans and getting organized. But one of the things that we still come across is role and responsibility towards Swift CSP. So is still unsure who owns what when we start this type of effort. So try to get to good governance around role and responsibility on Swift CSP. On the right-hand side, awareness on CSP change, scope and requirement. So a lot of individuals focus on, you know, the must-have of Swift, not the, you know, optional control, but therefore they're not necessarily prepared for what's coming up in terms of scope change. And if you have done the, you know, the optional control year after year, then you would be more prepared for basically changes. But here there are new controls in place, and read those. Some of those are important and maybe difficult to, you know, align with. The third point is collect evidence prior to evaluation. Simple, but still, you need to think about the target operating model of Swift, right? You have a TOM, you have an operating model, you have a set of control that you have to produce on a year-to-year basis. Get organized, right? You know, create the control of pen test and assessment and others on an ongoing basis, schedule them, plan them, and that way you can collect the evidence, harvest in a central point, and it can be consumed by the external assessor from that standpoint. Swift control by design, this is, I think, the most important one, is when there's a, you know, Swift, when there's an integration of Swift and or Swift towards, it's important to have the Swift control by design integrated into your control plan framework. And therefore, the framework of control integrates that element of Swift and is just part of doing a managing that framework on an ongoing basis. Next slide. So now I'm going to pass it on. Go ahead, Romain.
Thanks, Jean-Bernard. So, as a summary of GB messages, I would say that prepare, be proactive. Do not hesitate as well to leverage on existing assurance initiatives, and prepare from Q2. It's time to be ready for 2022. So now we move to the next section with Olivier. Olivier, can you give us please a few updates on the 2022 program, please?
Sure, Romain. First of all, good day, everybody. My name is Olivier Lazare. I'm working from Swift in the customer security team, and my specific team is responsible for making sure that the CSCF, so the control framework, evolves every year. And I'm glad to share with you some of the highlights of what is coming its way now for 2022. So in terms of agenda, there's a couple of items that I wish to cover. So first of all, I'll give some headlines regarding the evolution of the cyber threat landscape and the compliance evolution at Swift. Next, I will dig into the CSCF V2022 and what it brings for this year. Then I will give a recap of the independent assessment frameworks, just a few reminders, and as I'm just echoing what Romain said about the preparedness of this exercise for this year. And then there's a last section which I left in the deck, but I will not cover it, which is about how Swift can help. And this is just purely for information. So we will skip those slides and I will focus on the three first topics here. So in terms of cyber threat landscape evolution, how does it work? So here in this slide, I'm trying to correlate actually the incidents versus the compliance, the average compliance per control. So as you see on the numbers on the red line here on the top, you see the average compliance has actually evolved since 2017 when the program was started, and then it's actually moved upwards till 94, 96, and this year 95. So again, it's about average control compliance. So it has lowered a bit, but this is explainable because there was actually a bit of, yes, that's better, thank you. Because we have introduced the IAF since last year, which has actually had to confirm the compliance, and we have introduced three new mandatory controls in 2021. So that explains actually the decrease that we have observed for this year. So we correlating that with the trend of cases. So just be informed that there are still cases happening, but we see a lower trend of cases and the modus operandi still remain the same. So again, you would recall the key steps of hackers. So typically they manage to go into the customer environment, then they steal major or privileged accounts and privileged credentials, and from there they prepare fraudulent messages, and then once they have sent them, they clean up all the logs. So that remains the same, but again, there's still a number of cases happening. The good news is it is decreasing, and we anticipate that to be actually linked to somehow the we have introduced the framework, security frameworks like the CSP. And also, thanks to the COVID, there were less room for people to get inside view in enterprises. So that has actually helped decreasing this number of cases, right? So implementation of security controls framework on top of COVID, less flexibility for people to hackers. Now, I mentioned about the compliance, and here you have in the shape of hexagon, the compliance per security principle. So you would recall that we have a pyramid, which I'm not showing here, which lists on the top the three security objectives, the seven security principles below, and the number of controls at the bottom of the pyramid. So now going forward, we're going to show that into the shape of hexagon, right? So where you have those seven principles and the middle one of the seven, actually, right? And you see the more green, the more the customers have showed compliance with the security controls, part of the security principles, right? So you see again the numbers have it's getting greener, and again correlate echoing what I said earlier about the decrease of this year. You have a small decrease this year. Why? Again, that's because we have introduced the IF, which has in some cases invalidated the early conclusion. And secondly, there's a bit there's a couple of new controls which were introduced, which came on, which were less complied with this year. So let's go now in the new things that we have introduced with the V2022. So first of all, just a recap in terms of overall numbers. So this big arrow shows the evolution of the frameworks in terms of number controls. So as you see, this is something we want to introduce going forward. We sort of plateauing this year, right? So in the beginning, you would see that we have added quite a substantial number of controls, but now we're going to somehow a plateauing. And why is that? That's because, again, we see that it works and we want the community more to have some time to implement the controls already. And we believe that adding any new controls will not, the return of adding new controls will be marginal. So again, stay tuned. We will still obviously increase the number of controls if we see hackers exploiting the infrastructure of our customers, and we will remain vigilant. But again, the intention for this year and for next year is actually more going for a plateau type of evolution. Now, this table I'm showing here on the right-hand side shows per architecture types the number of the controls which are applicable, and you see there's less if you go to B. So what have we introduced in 2022? First of all, we have not introduced, but we have turned mandatory the control 2.9, which is about transaction business control. So this is actually a very different control from others, in the sense that actually this is not a really a cyber control, it's more a business control, right? So what we ask in the control 2.9 is to ensure that you have a clear view on the messages which are fired from your organizations. We want you to be vigilant and identify and stop any messages which is a fraudulent message, right? And there are many ways to do that. I'm not going to elaborate on these ways. There is some applications. There are some available, like PCS typically is a good example. There's DVR. There is also some ways to physically close the tap after business hours. So there are many ways against which are elaborated in the CSCF V2022 itself, right? So the second point now is about customer connector. So first of all, you would remember that customer connector is a connector that goes to an external party, like to GroupUp or Service Bureau. And we have, so these are software that can be used for any type of service, but not specifically for Swift, like an MQ server, a middleware server, or an SFTP server are typically customer connector, right? And in last year, we had introduced this as advisory. So in all the controls where customer connector would appear, you would see advisory between brackets before the customer connector. Now we remove the word advisory, so it means that the customer connector will be integral part, mandatory part of the controls. The point three now is the introduction of a control called Environment Protection Control 1.5A, which actually mandates that this customer connector that I was referring to earlier, like an MQ server, again connecting externally, or an SFTP server, is somehow in a secure zone, in a DMZ, protected from the access and protected from any rogue access, finally. And last but not least, as I mentioned early, we still note that the hackings typically start with the general purpose operator PC. So we have actually again raise the bar for general purpose operator PC, and we ask as advisory to start with that the system privilege accounts are properly monitored and controlled on those general purpose operator PC, right? Again, those general purpose operator PC, I remind you, are PCs that connect to a Swift environment, right? So what we ask is this specific case is that if you have or you do have admin accounts on these PCs, that they are protected adequately secured and monitored. And last but not least, we have also introduced the customer connector as advisory in two controls, software integrity and database integrity. I remind you that software integrity control is about making sure that no alien software is introduced in your environment. So you may have a software which is in which there is some rogue code injected. So actually that type of operation should trigger an alarm. So that's the purpose of control 6.2. And control 6.3 about database integrity is about making sure that there is no way to inject a fake transaction in a database, in a messaging database, right? A fake message again, or remove one, right? So that should trigger an alarm. And again, those customer connectors are now part of this control. Again, advisory to start with, but you can anticipate that it will be turned mandatory for next year. And maybe not a scoop, but I mean, you would expect that on point three, the control 1.5A will be turned mandatory in 2023. But let's stick to 2022 now. It's only implemented as advisory. There are other guidances that are provided, but I will not elaborate on these. Again, we strongly recommend that you look at the CSCF compare version, which is actually a word by word or a track change version of control changes between 2022 and 2021. So there's still many questions about the control 2.9. So let me elaborate a bit on that. So we had many emotional discussions, I would say, with many companies to introduce this control as mandatory going forward, right? So we try to first clarify a few things. So first of all, we say, okay, it's applicable only to payment instructions. So we're not talking about securities. We're only talking about payment instructions. Typically, the most popular type of message is MT103. Secondly, as I mentioned earlier, it's a business control, which may involve somehow your back of some operations on your back office. Also, we have clarified the business hours concept because you may recall that we had many customers complaining that we don't have business hours because we always open 24/7. So that's something we have clarified in the control itself. And then last but not least, we have many supervised entities which are actually already subject to this control via typically a regulatory body that mandates them to have such a verification, right? Okay, so that's one aspect, so the clarification aspect. And in terms of implementation guidance, we have introduced several ways to implement this control. So one is to limit traffic outside of business hours. One is to have implement some application to control a bit the ranges of the amount ranges. So to avoid, for instance, that a message is firing hundreds of thousands of euros outside. Perform daily reconciliation. So what has been sent, does it correspond to what I was supposed to send based on information from my back office? Performing central checks or to spot potential abnormal behavior. I'm only sending euros and suddenly I'm sending out dollars. So that's not normal. So that should actually be stopped, right? Or perform independent reconciliations against a secondary source. Here we're thinking about a DVR, right? So you can implement one that suffices to meet the control, but you can also consider implementing many of them. A bit of recap now about the independent assessment framework. So let me walk you through quickly the four key steps of the framework. So first of all, you need to select an assessor, and it can be internal or external or a combination of both, right? And then we also strongly recommend that you consider reusing your previous independent assessment. I will elaborate on that in a minute, but this is an option which is available now. the assessor will conduct the review, and we have many material available on swift.com to help your assessors to perform their work. And we also suggest that you implement some remediation review, not only in the review itself, but also in terms of schedule, right? And then you have to reflect the results in the KYCSA application at some stage, right? And this can be done either by the independent assessor itself or by your guys, right? And then finally, this is something which is mandated since last year. So again, if you don't do that, I mean, you would be considered as non-compliant. And I'm just echoing what was said earlier. I think you need to really start ASAP, because we were made aware last year that many companies, assessors companies like PwC, were called in, but this was way too late. I didn't have time to help out, right? Now, a very quick point about the reuse of previous assessment, right? So, again, the question here is, do we want to, you have to attest and you have to use an independent assessment in 2022, right? So there is an option to say, okay, I'm going to reuse the one that I did last year. So you have to go through some sort of decision tree, if you will. So first of all, you see on the left-hand side, is this reliance accepted? Because your assessors may say, I'm not going to rely on something which was done last year because I have not done it myself, or maybe because my internal policy in my company prevents that or forbids that. So that's case closed. So you need to do a full reassessment. Is it older than 2 years? Okay, can I reuse something 2020? No, that's not possible, right? So case closed, you have to do a full reassessment. Then if that's yes, then you can also say, have there been major changes in my infrastructure? Did I go from a service bureau to on-prem type of environment? Obviously, this is a key change which may invalidate your conclusions from your previous assessment. Okay, so in this case, you may say, okay, I'm going to do some delta assessment covering the bits that have changed, right? The CSCF controls, have they changed since my last assessment? Are there new elements in scope? Are there new controls? So those are questions that you should ask yourself. And if you answer no, then you can indeed consider delta assessment. If there are all answers that are yes to those things, then you can actually then say, okay, I don't need to do a new assessment and I can rely on the previous one. Again, plus potentially a small delta. And just a last point, you need to validate those conditions, and that takes where there's no free lunch here. So you would need to call in an independent assessor to validate that these conditions are met or not, right? Another point that I want to quickly also cover is that we have more and more customers using what we call outsourcing agent between themselves and a service bureau, and there are many in France typically. So those outsourcing agents have some responsibilities, okay? So first of all, in this specific layout where you see it sitting between a customer and a service bureau, it is outside of the SIP program. So those outsourcing agents fall in the scope of CSP. Typically, these are typically hosting some operation or even simply hosting of equipment. Right, but again, I'm afraid if you do some outsourcing to another company, let's take an example. If you hosting your access, for instance, in a data center, I mean, this data center has some responsibility in terms of CSP. One can think about the physical security, for instance. There is no way you can simply say, I'm good for CSP for the physical security if I'm outsourcing, without this outsourcing agent confirming it, right? Again, there are some responsibilities that are needed to be complied with. And we have just produced a document which will be available in the slide. So again, as I mentioned, you can now skip all the rest of my slides. So these are slides that actually I'm going to share with you in the presentation that are available for you just to find some key resources. for your guidance, right? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Olivier. It was very clear, helpful. Thank you very much for your time. I'm pretty sure we'll have a lot of questions for you in a few minutes, so please stay with us. Laetitia, Laetitia, we'd like to have your feedback on last year independent assessment. We're sure you have a lot of things to share with us. It's very important for the audience to get your practical feedback, please.
Yes, thank you. So I'm Laetitia Caillez. I'm the head of Swift Business Team and Product Manager of CSP for the Groupe Crédit Agricole. So I'm very happy to be with you today to share my experience in the Crédit Agricole group of the CSP. So let's have a focus on the organization of the Crédit Agricole. The Crédit Agricole Group is the largest network of cooperative and mutual bank in the world. So the group is divided in 39 caisses régionales in France and lots of subsidiaries all over the world. For example, CACIB, Crédit Agricole Corporate and Invest Bank, CACEIS, Crédit Agricole Caisse d'Épargne, Investor Services, Crédit Agricole Assurance, etc. CAPS, so Crédit Agricole Payment Services, is the subsidiary which handles nearly all payments for the group. We are about 600 employees, and our main activities are cash flows, SEPA flows, and SWIFT flows. So in this context, I'm with you today about SWIFT flows, and CAPS is in charge of the SWIFT platform for around 80 entities. And there is also another historical platform in Switzerland, which processes Crédit Agricole in Suez and private bank outside the group Crédit Agricole. So for CAPS platform, it represents 2 million of transfer per month order each month. And we handle more than 15 million messages in total each month. We maintain this SWIFT platform with CAGIP, Crédit Agricole Group Infrastructure Platform. So CAGIP is our IT producer, and we are the functional administrator of the platform, and CAGIP is our technical producer. CIPS is representing the hub Crédit Agricole SA. So I think you all know the big Agri FRPP. And we, as a hub, we are in architecture, A1. So in the scope of architecture A1, we have two messaging interfaces, Synchronic Gateway and SWIFT Alliance Access. We have one communication interface, SWIFT Alliance Gateway, and of course, SWIFT Web Platform. As I said before, we have 80 entities connected to our platform, and these entities are in architecture A4. So contrary to the hub, they are in architecture A4, and they are concerned by CSP only with their workstation, and their back office application. So I'm going to share with you right now what we did during 5 years concerning CSP. So we have different steps. The first step is the conduction of CSP between 2017 and 2020. During the first step, SWIFT only required self-attestation for all entities. So for the first year, 2017, as we didn't have enough time to refine the project, CAPS filled the self-attestation for all entities and proposed the compliance or the no compliance for each control. Our answers were based on the group information system policy, and we assumed that entities all respect the group policy. So for the year 2018 and 20, 19, we have more time, so we worked in a project mode with all our entities to process the non-compliance of few controls. For example, multi-factor authentication, and I will make a focus just after on this control. So we benefited in 2019, of the LPM project. So the LPM project is a military programming law. I think everybody knows LPM because it is a French legislation from ANSI. Concerning committees, we organized twice a year steering committees with all entities. So, as I said before, I'm going to make a focus on the control 4.2, multi-factor authentication. So, if we can have the slide. Okay. We got the slide about multi-factor authentication. No, I can begin without the slide. So about the control multi-factor authentication, it was new for us because we did not implement strong authentication before on applications. So we studied in 2018 different solutions, and we studied one solution from Cagip and also from solutions from external suppliers. We have given priority to internal solution because it was the most secure solution and the most easily applicable solution for all entities. The solution implemented by Cagip is Active ID from HID, the editor, and we implemented Active ID with hard token. We decided only to use hard token because they can't be hacked compared to soft token. So we implemented a strong authentication on about 800 users on SAA and about 200 users on web access. So, as I said, strong authentication is implemented on SAA and web access, and we study how to implement this strong authentication on the new product, which will replace Synchrony Gateway. So, the first step was, as I said, between 2017 and 2019. So I'm going to share with you what we have done in 1990. So for the year 1990, Swift at the beginning of the year obliged the community to make an independent assessment. During the COVID crisis, Swift changed the process and tolerated to still comply with the self-attestation. Our entities chose to realize the self-attestation as before, but CAPS decided not to waste time for the next years and made an internal audit for the BIC, the hub, as I said before, Agri-FRPP. It was beneficial for everybody because we were ready to support entities for the independent assessment in 2021. So to conduct this audit in 2020, we worked very close to Swift, thanks to our service manager, and of course, thanks to Michel and Olivier. We decided to take into account all the controls of the scope, mandatory and advisory for the BIC Agri-FRPP. I will make a focus now on the tool SBP Check. So we use this tool, and this tool is offered by Swift, and this tool is launched by Cagip before our internal audit and is largely used by our internal audit. The SBP check, it consists on 60 controls, 30 controls on Swift Alliance Access, 12 on Swift Alliance Gateway, and 18 on Swift Web Platform. This tool, for example, checks software and database integrity, as well as password policy. And in our case, each check has to be successful to be compliant. Otherwise, the control is not compliant. So, next step, what we have done in 2021. So, as I said before, in 2021, it was not only the self-attestation mandatory by SWIFT, but also it was the independent assessment for all entities. So, we ask our entities to make the choice between internal or external assessment, before end of May, and we oblige entities to end the assessment before end of November. So, it was last year. We requested the same deliverables as SWIFT, so Excel templates, only mandatory, not advisory, the official report and the letter also. For the year 2021, we decided to reinforce our coaching with entities by putting in place different committees. The outline, twice a month, to exchange with entities about technical and organizational aspects. Steering committee twice a year, and committee with member of executive board to present the result of all entities. And so what we began and what we are going to do in 2022. So as we experimented the independent assessment last year, we decided to anticipate the deadlines of 2 months. So we ask entities to make the choice between internal or external assessment before end of March, and we oblige entities to be ready and to finish the independent assessment for end of September. So, some entities have the opportunity to conduct the CSP with PwC, for example, CACEIS or Crée École Indosuez. And we keep the same coaching with entities with different committees. So, the feedback for the CSP for the group Crée École is that conducting the CSP is always a rewarding experience for CIPS and for all the group Crée École because we have secured our leadership concerning SWIFT and security around SWIFT. We didn't encounter any difficulties because we anticipated all works since 2017, so at the beginning of the program, and we anticipated the importance of the CSP, and we shared a lot with SWIFT, with Olivier, with Michel, with our service manager, to validate our comprehension of CICF. So thank you for the opportunity to share with you our experience of the CSP in the group Crée École.
Thank you very much, Laetitia. Very, very interesting. I'm pretty sure we have a lot of questions from the audience, and in the next coming minutes, we'll try to take some questions. If not, please, we'll get back to you offline as soon as possible. So we'll try our best to take all your questions for sure. So I see first question for you, Laetitia. How to implement the incident response requirements. Can you elaborate on that, please?
Yes, if I'm not wrong, it concerns the control 7.1 about the SWIFT response cyber incident. And so for the group Crée École, we have, of course, an incident response growth plan with Kajip and with CASA. And in this document, we have explanations about the identification and the classification of the incidents. We have, of course, the escalation process, which is described and with all the stakeholders of the group. As I said before, CAGIP, CASA, the CERT, the Group Incident Response Team. We have in this procedure described the communication with the relevant external organizational stakeholders also. So LANCI, the European Central Bank, and SWIFT, of course. We have the containment of the isolation of the impacted system to limit the exposure of the attack. We described also the post-incident problem analysis, and we describe also the involvement of skilled cybersecurity professionals. And as an example, at the beginning of last year, in 2021, we conducted a cyber incident test exercise with CIPS, with CAGIP and Crédit Assurance. And the test simulated an external attack on the Crédit internal network. And so we assessed the capacity of the organizational arrangement and conduct of the crisis units.
So you were able to mutualize the testing effort between different entities at Crédit Agricole, with CACEIS, with different entities.
Yes, okay. Last year it was with Crédit Agricole Assurance, but for this year, I don't know what is planned, but it can be CACEIS, yes, all entities.
Okay, thank you very much. We have another question. Where can I find SWIFT IOCs? How should they be taken into account? JB, can you take that one?
Yeah, I can take that one. So it's pretty simple. SWIFT makes available to you access to the ISAC portal, the Information Sharing and Analysis Center. What I recommend is to get a feed directly so that your SOC gets the feed directly from the IOC so that they're part of your ecosystems. Oftentimes with the client, they say, oh yeah, I know I've connected to ISAC or to FS ISAC. You can get the same information there. You get the IOCs, and the IOCs stay there. The threat intel got them, but they don't make it to the server that need to be patched. So we've done some red teaming exercise, for instance, and yes, the threat team had the IOCs. The server was not patched, you know, versus the IOCs, and we're able to break in and exfiltrate basically money via SWIFT compromise. So look, yes, get the IOCs from FS ISAC or to ISAC via your SWIFT portal, but just make sure that they get implemented all the way to the administrator of the SWIFT platform, because that's where it's useful. So that's where you can find them.
Thank you very much, JB. I see one other question. How to identify the type of architecture implemented? I would this question. I don't know, Olivier, if you can take that one.
Yes, sure, Romain. So first of all, I'd like to remind you that the CSCF remains really the basis for determining your architecture type. So if you look at the introduction, it's pretty lengthy. I'm conscious of that, but this is really the Bible, I would say, from which you could derive your architecture type. But next to that, we have produced additional resources, one of which is called a decision tree, right? Where it actually shows in the shape of a flow various ways to go via a set of questions and come to the conclusion that there is you are A3 or A4, like Leticia mentioned earlier, or A1 or whatever, right? So these are the two really key documents, the CSCF and the decision tree. I strongly recommend to combine both to reach out consensus about your architecture type.
And we always validate, don't worry, when we work with you, we always, that's one of the first things we make sure of, that we speak the same language and we validate.
Right. Okay. Maybe to complement what I just said, we also have crafted, and it's available from the decision tree, a table, an Excel sheet, where we actually list all the Swift products and their basic architecture type. So again, if you're using Lite 2 Auto Client, you're A3. If you're using Access, you're A2 or A1 typically. So those are things that we have tried to use as well to or document to simplify, again, the identification. So there are three documents, so the CSCF, the decision tree, and then this table of Swift products with the associated architecture type.
Mm. I have one question which is linked to that one, Olivier. Why choose one type of Swift architecture rather than another? I don't know if you have any insight on that one specifically.
So the idea was that all controls were not applicable blindly. I mean, they would really depend on the footprint. And obviously, to sort of customize this footprint, we had come with, originally there were only four architecture types, so that we went to five now those days. But this is really to limit, to make things more relevant, if you will, right?
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. There is one question from the audience as well. I take that one. Let me just, why not proposing a user's rating review for your independent assessment providers? I don't know, Olivier, if you want to elaborate on that one.
That is a very good question. we got this regular request. Again, we don't want to promote a specific assessor against the others, but obviously we have a list of assessors, right, which we're posting, and PwC is on it, obviously, and we only do basic due diligence, right? We, again, raising the bar year after year to make sure that those guys at least read the Swift Smarts, then they also have all the information available at hand. So, I mean, we discussed with Leticia, for instance, about the evidences that the assessors should ask for. So this is something which is work in progress. So we're actually more focusing on making sure that the assessors have appropriate documentation in their hands to make sure that they're doing a good job, right? But at the end, I mean, they're providing us comfort that we have that they have some certifications and the like, for instance. But there is obviously a limit to what we can do at Swift, right?
I can imagine.
And maybe to complement what I just say, so we are going to actually start a survey with customers and assessors to ask them what is missing or what we could do better in terms of selecting or maybe scoring these assessors. But again, I mean, I just want to manage expectations here. There's a limit to what Swift will do in any case.
Thank you very much. I don't know, Leticia or Olivier, if you have any additional comment or advice for our participants today. Jean-Bernard, of course, how to get prepared for 2022, any additional comment?
In our case, in the Grey Call group for 2022, we mentioned with our entities to take care on the new, not really the new scope, but the fact that customer connector were not mandatory the years before, and for this year this connector is mandatory. So for the last years, our entities only took in the scope their workstations. And for this year, they have to take into account the Q manager for fin messages or the CFT connector. So it's going to be, the scope is larger than before, so they're going to have more work to find and or also maybe to write evidences.
Thank you very much. Olivier, any additional comments?
Yeah, again, I want to reiterate what Jean-Bernard said at the beginning of the session. I mean, not to wait, because, I mean, again, we were flooding with customers crying at the end of the year and running like a less chicken to find an assessor, right? So do anticipate. And again, maybe you're not going to need to do a full reassessment this year, but do it as soon as practical and mobilize the resources, internal and or external, to make sure that you're on time to attest on KYCSA.
Mm. We are on the same page.
Maybe as a note, this is all about the security of your payments, right? This is all about the security of those transactions. So from a financial, you know, and you know, treasury standpoint, this is really important. So please elevate that message onto the top. There's a large amount of transaction going through this platform. This is a serious topic. And all I could say is just try to push in that direction your leaders and inform them of the criticality of this process. It is on the table. It is going to be on the table for a long time. And just get organized and take this as an ongoing, basically, effort that will have to be done. And the bar is going to be raised, right, on a year-to-year basis. Sure. So get prepared for this kind of mindset so that there's less and less friction year after year. And you basically accept the fact that it's like PCI 20 years ago, right? So it is going to be evolving in that direction.
Thanks. And again, thanks. You're not doing this exercise. I can only pick on Jean-Bernard. So you're not doing this exercise for Swift, by the way. I mean, we have many customers say, oh, but why do we need to do that for you? You're doing it precisely like Jean-Bernard said, for yourself first, to protect yourself.
Sure. And the question, would you give access to a record of this video? The response is yes. We will be sharing with you a podcast of these videos. We will be able to have the whole content. Thank you very much for your time today. Thank you. So you have on that page the PwC contact in the different territories. So please do not hesitate to contact us should you have any question, any need for clarification. We will be more than happy to get back to you as soon as possible. As I said at the very beginning of the presentation, a satisfaction survey will be submitted to you in a minute. So please. Thank you to take a few minutes to give us some feedback. It is really important and appreciated. So thank you very much for your time today. You will be receiving as well the slide deck from the presentation of our presentation today. Have a nice day and speak to you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye.